سورة يوسف. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را، تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. Alif, Lam, Ra. These are the verses of the book that makes things clear. We have revealed this Quran in Arabic language so that you may understand. We relate to you the best of the stories through this Quran by our revelation to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, though before this you were one of those who did not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls Surah Yusuf Ahsanul Qasas, best of all the stories, the most beautiful. Why? Because the stories written in this world mostly do not have any lessons in it. But in this incident of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, there are many things to understand. Human psyche. This story tells about the outcome and the end result of envy, jealousy. It tells of how Allah Ta'ala sent His help to His people at the last, or you can say the most difficult moments. It tells of the rebellious and bad qualities in human nafs, his soul. It opens up man's psychology and clearly presents it. In fact, we are greatly inclined towards those stories which are a source of just passing time. Stories of different series which are very common in our society. Folk tales or tales of present time. Stories of other civilizations. But if we see how many stories out of them are such that can reform man. No work of Allah Ta'ala is purposeless, like He made the heavens and the earth with some purpose. So in the same way, He presents the stories in the Quran in a purposeful way. And then specially it is said, Allah Ta'ala says, we have revealed to you these incidents through wahi. In fact, this book is Ashraful Kitab, the most exalted among all the books. Ashraful Lughat, most vast in terms of meanings and eloquence. And it was revealed on Ashraful Rusul, the exalted Rasul, through Ashraful Malaika, the most exalted angel. And at the most exalted place, Mecca, in the most exalted month, Ramadan, in the most exalted night, Laylatul Qadr, and for the most exalted Ummah. Rasulullah said in a hadith for Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, Al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem, ibn al-Kareem, ibn al-Kareem, Yusuf bin Yaqub bin Ishaq bin Ibrahim, meaning an honorable person who is the son of an honorable person, grandson of an honorable person, great-grandson of an honorable person. That is the best men who were the heirs of righteousness from one generation after another. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ. This is the narrative of that time when Yusuf alayhi salam said to his father, O my father, in a dream I saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon. I saw them prostrate themselves before me. He replied, O my son, do not say anything about this dream to your brothers, lest they plot an evil scheme against you, for Shaitan is an open enemy to human beings. Now remember, Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, they were the children of a Nabi, and they were all Muslims. But to be a Muslim, this is not a sign that now he is free of any defect or fault, shortcoming. After declaration of Iman, becoming a Muslim, one has to strive all his life, otherwise born in the house of a Nabi. A man cannot be reformed till he does not strive for it himself. Now the father, he knew his children very well. This is Hazrat Yaqub. He understood the dream of his son Yusuf and he exhorted not to mention it to the other brothers. Now there are three types of dreams. One is that which is in your own heart, conscious, or what you desire and that you cannot fulfill in your life, and you fulfill it in your dream. You want something. So this desire stays inside you and all these desires come true in your dreams. They just reflect your own thoughts. Meaning, what one sees while awake transformed in a dream. And this kind is self-suggestion. Then number two, second type is the whispers of shaitan. That is, for example, you intend to do a good deed and shaitan whispers him during daytime and stops him, and sometimes by showing some scary dreams. So sometimes it so happens shaitan would make his input introducing some forms, situation and events into person's mind which would either be pleasing or terrifying. So this is the seductive input of shaitan. And number three, the good news from Allah. I'll repeat. In short, three kinds of dream are: number one, that which one keeps seeing while awake. These present themselves before one in a dream. Got it? Number two, the satanic, in which the mind sees forms and shapes released by the shaitan. And number three, the third kind, which is correct and true, is the 46th part of the ingredients of the prophethood. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, a good dream of a faithful believer is a part of 46 parts of an-nabuwa, that is prophethood. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I heard Allah's Messenger ﷺ saying, nothing is left from an-nabuwa, that is prophethood, except al-mubashirat. They asked, what are al-mubashirat? And he replied, a righteous good dream that conveys glad tidings. Rasulullah ﷺ said, if any of you saw a vision that he likes, let him narrate it. And if he saw a dream that he dislikes, let him turn on his other side, blow to his left thrice, seek refuge with Allah from its evil, and not tell it to anyone. Verily, it will not harm him in this case. Rasulullah ﷺ said, there are three types of dreams. Number one, glad tidings from Allah. Number two, what is suggested by shaitan to frighten the dreamer. Number three, the reflection of one's thoughts and experiences one has during wakefulness. So if someone has a dream which he dislikes, he should not tell it to others, but get up and perform prayer. And Anbiya's dreams, they are true. So here Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam narrates its interpretation, and he says, verse 6, it will happen as you have seen in your dream that you will be chosen by your Rabb for his work. He will teach you how to interpret visions and will perfect his favor upon you and the children of Yaqub, as he perfected it upon your forefathers Ibrahim and Ishaq alayhi salam before you. Surely your Rabb is knowledgeable, wise. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Indeed, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers, there are signs for inquirers. In fact, you see, who are these inquirers? You see, Meccans, they had asked the question from Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, because before this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi knew nothing about it. And Meccans actually wanted to check if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi is a true Nabi. Then he would be able to tell, answer their questions. And otherwise, if he is not telling, he does not know, then his reality will be disclosed before them. So the answer to their question was given fully in the form of a wahi. And not only answer was given, rather this incident, which has a lesson even for the Meccans, that the way Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers dealt with him. So, O Meccans, you too are dealing with a member of your own family in the same way. How? By denying his prophethood. This is how the story begins. His stepbrothers held a meeting and said to one another, Yusuf and his brother, that is Benjamin, are loved more by our father than us, even though we are a group of 10 and can help him more. In fact, our father is clearly mistaken. Let us kill Yusuf or throw him out to some far off land, so that the attention of our father turns exclusively towards us. After that, we may again become righteous people. What is the lesson? Huh? This thought comes into our hearts too. Today, I will lie. I am under some compulsion, some problem. Tomorrow, I'll do tawbah. Let us do some wrong works. We are young, huh? Then we'll do hajj when we get old. And then we can repent. Pray the hajjah at night and during daytime, please people. So in this way, we'll be pleasing both. This is what we do, huh? So these are only Shaitan's whispers. Allah's being is exalted. That man deceives him? No. No one can deceive Allah Ta'ala by such excuses. At this, one of them said, La taqtulu Yusuf. Do not kill Yusuf. But if you must, throw him into some dark well, so that he may be picked up by some passing caravan. After this meeting, they asked their father, O our father, why is it that you do not trust us with Yusuf, though we are his sincere well-wishers? There is one thing is in their heart and something else on their tongues. Send him with us tomorrow, that he may play and enjoy himself. What is the show? It was not something bad for the children of a prophet to go out for a picnic for enjoyment, huh? That is why Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam gave them the permission. So Islam does not forbid that you cannot go out for enjoyment or traveling, okay? But please, within limits. But the things that make one heedless from Allah, so that is what is harmful for man. We shall take good care of him, their father said. I will be worried if you take him away, for I fear lest a wolf should eat him up while you are off guard. They said, if a wolf could eat him despite our number, then surely we would be worthless people. Then after such persistence, they were able to take him away, and they resolved to throw him into a dark well. We revealed this to Yusuf alayhi salam. A time will come when you will admonish them about this act of theirs. That is, do not grieve. So when he was in the well, he was very peaceful. Now they do not perceive its consequences. Because you see, the wrongdoers, when they are doing zulm on others, they do not know that, of course, they think that, yes, we are plotting, but they do not know that Allah Ta'ala too is planning. When man has some authority, people take away others' rights. So always remember, Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. He sees all. Every work, everything is in His hand. At nightfall, they returned to their father weeping. They said, O our father, we went off to compete in racing with one another and left Yusuf by our belongings. And a wolf ate him. But you will not believe us, even though we are telling the truth. That is, by telling lies, they are saying we are truthful. As proof, they brought his shirt stained with false blood. Another lie, deception. Because see, when man lies, then with one lie, he has to commit many other evils. The lie multiplies. To hide one lie, he has to speak many other lies. No, he cried, your souls have tempted you to evil. I need good patience. Allah alone can help me against that which you assert. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifoon. This is the great character of a father, of a parent, that we all should follow. Now, he knows the mistake of his children, and he knows the story is something else, and they are not speaking the truth. But even on this, he does not deal with them in a bad way. Rather, what they tell, he accepts their apparent words, and he ignores their mistake, and he says, Wallahu al-musta'an. It is only Allah whose help can be sought. He is the master. I seek help from Allah. Alama tasifoon, against what you describe. On the other side, a caravan passed by and sent a water carrier who let down his bucket into the well. Seeing Yusuf in it, he shouted with joy. Qala ya Bushra, good news. Hada ghulam, I found a boy. Wa asarruhu bida'ah. They concealed him like trade merchandise. Allah knew what they did. They brought him to Egypt and sold him for a petty price, a few dirhams, silver coins. Now imagine, son of a prophet, the most beautiful person of this world, sold for a few dirhams. And no one knows who he is, what is his price. The man out of ignorance does not value a thing which has to be valued. They had such a low estimation of him. Why? Because, you know, they wanted to get rid of him. So that if his owners, they come to him, so they will take him back. So it is better to sell him on any price we get. so that we get even a small price. The Egyptians who bought Yusuf said to his wife, "Be kind to him. He may prove useful to us, or we may adopt him as a son." Thus we established Yusuf in the land and arranged to teach him the understanding of affairs. Remember, Yusuf a.s. was born in a desert area, in the environment of Bedouins, raising animals. And Allah Ta'ala wanted to take some other work from him. Through him, guidance of other people was planned. He was to be prepared for that work. So in this way, Allah Ta'ala took him out from that environment and brought him to Egypt. It sometimes so happens that man cannot understand some incidents that take place in his life. Man thinks, "I'm being oppressed." For example, you put yourself in this place, thrown in the well, then sold, then made a slave. We'll cry pity on ourselves, huh? All the pains that are written for me, but behind all these hardships, there is another big wisdom. You can say, hidden wisdom of Allah that is working. And here Allah is saying, we did all this so that Yusuf is established in the land, to arrange to teach him the understanding of the affairs. The people were intending evil for him, but Allah Ta'ala planned a big khair for him in this hardship. Now you see, in those days Egypt was a very progressed and you can say a civilized nation. And the experience, wisdom, deep insight which Yusuf alayhi salam needed for preaching had no chance in a desert. So Allah Ta'ala made him reach Egypt in this way. Like for example, we send our children for higher education to other countries. So at that time, there was no such system like that. So Allah Ta'ala in a specific way opens up a way for him to live in Egypt. Allah has full power over his affairs, though most people do not know. People see just the things that are superficial. But Allah Ta'ala has all the wisdom. When he reached maturity, we bestowed on him wisdom and knowledge. Thus do we reward the righteous. Now the lady of the house, who, his master's wife, attempted to seduce him. She bolted the doors and said, "Come." He replied, "May Allah protect me from this. My Lord has provided me with good residence. Should I betray his trust? Surely wrongdoers do not prosper." She advanced towards him, and he would have advanced towards her had he not seen a sign from his Rabb. You know, Allah's special support and help is always with his prophets. That Allah Ta'ala stops them through some unseen way from going towards wrong direction. So what happened? Thus did we shield him from indecency and immodesty, for he was one of our sincere devotees. Now, was he chosen by birth? Yes, he was chosen by birth also, but him being chosen was because of his sabr, patience and shukr. When he did not complain in the well, or even after being sold, he was patient on the attitude of his brothers. Or when the caravan sold him in the market, he was a slave. Still he did not complain to Allah. He did not work impatiently. He at every moment is seen to have a beautiful personality. He acts with dignity and he is serious. So Allah Ta'ala chooses such people for his work, not those who have small constricted hearts, who show negative reactions on seeing some hardships. They both, who, Yusuf and that lady, rushed to the door. In order to stop him, she caught his shirt, and as a result, she ripped his shirt from behind. At the door, they met her husband. Seeing him, she cried. Now she's lying. What punishment does someone who intended evil against your wife deserve except imprisonment or a painful punishment? Yusuf said, "It was she who attempted to seduce me." At this, one accusing the other, one member of her own family bore witness, saying, "If his shirt is ripped from the front, then she is speaking the truth." and he is lying. But if it is ripped from behind, then he is speaking the truth and she is lying. So when he, that is her husband, saw that Yusuf's shirt was ripped from behind, he said to her, "It is one of the tricks of you women. Your trick was mighty indeed." Now many people quote this saying, this part of the verse, that it is Allah's speech. Although these are the words spoken by the husband, and he is telling about his wife, and then he included other women also. It's not Allah's speech that he is saying, got it? O Yusuf, say no more about this. And you, that is, O my wife, seek forgiveness for your sins, for you were indeed the wrongdoer. Now you see, such incidents cannot remain hidden. And this scandal too spread all over the city. What happened? وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ اِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا. The women of the city began to talk about this incident, saying, "The wife of Al-Aziz has seduced her young slave, that is, she is trapped in his love, for she has fallen madly in love with him. In fact, we see her in manifest error." Now the gossips, they started in many places. When she heard about these remarks, she invited them and prepared for them a banquet and gave each one of them a knife. Now the wife of Aziz, who is called Zulaikha in history, what happened? She invited these women for a banquet, those who were talking against her, and as a plot, she put knife in front of each one of them to cut the fruits. Now here we come to know, eating with knife and fork is not something very new, huh? But people of Egypt, many thousands of years back, they had the same culture. So it is an old culture. Then, when they were engaged in cutting fruit, she asked Yusuf to come out before them. When they saw him, they were so amazed that they cut their hands and exclaimed spontaneously, "Hasha lillah." Now their vision was fixed on Yusuf alayhi salam, and they forgot that they have to cut the fruit or the hands. They said, "Good Lord, he is no human being. He is but a noble angel." She said, "Well, this is he about whom you blamed me." Now she is justifying herself, huh? That I am not at fault, but he himself is so beautiful. "No doubt I seduced him, but he escaped." You know, like people cover their mistakes like this. "If he does not do what I say, he will certainly be thrown into prison and be disgraced." Yusuf alayhi salam said, "O my Rab, I would rather go to prison than that to which they invite me. And unless you ward off their cunning snare from me, I may in my youthful folly feel inclined towards them, because I am a human being as well, and become one of the ignorant." What does this show? That such deeds are acts of ignorance. Ones of ilm, understanding, they do not do such deeds. Thereupon his Rabb granted his prayer and warded off their cunning plots from him. Surely he hears all and knows all. Hear the dua of Yusuf alayhi salam, that, "O Allah, I would rather go to a prison and I don't want to do this wrong work." This dua was accepted. Acceptance of the dua does not mean that what you ask for, you get it exactly the same thing. Now, acceptance of dua has three forms. Number one, what you ask, you get it. Number two, you do not get what you asked for, but some trial is averted. You're doing dua and some trial is coming, that is averted. Number three, neither you get what you asked for, nor any trial is removed in its exchange, but its reward is stored for akhirah. Such duas will be weighed in man's book of deeds on the day of Qiyamah, when man will see its great weight. So he will wish, "If only none of my dua was accepted in the dunya, and I would get reward of all my duas here." But when we do dua and it is not accepted, we are displeased with Allah, or we despair, or we speak bad with our tongue, And never do we think that because of dua some hardship is averted. But as we cannot see, so we don't have conviction. And there is hardly anyone among us who agrees that yes, we will get its reward in Akhirah. Oh, it's so far. We want it now immediately. But we will wish on Qiyamah, if only I would have gotten it here. And none of my dua was accepted in the world. Still, even after all the evidence they had seen, they thought it proper to send him to prison for a while. That is, instead of punishing the criminals, they seized the innocent person. But still, that innocent man is not displeased, and he is not hopeless of Allah's help. Two young men also entered the prison along with him. One day, one of them said, I saw in a dream that I was pressing wine. The other said, I saw in a dream that I was carrying bread on my head, of which birds were eating. Tell us the interpretation of these dreams, for we see that you are a man of virtue. Yusuf replied, I will, with Allah's permission, tell you the interpretation of these dreams before you are served the food you eat. This is part of the knowledge which my Rabb has taught me, that is, interpretation of the dreams. Although he used to tell, but he never took any credit, but he says, my Rabb has taught me this ilm. In fact, I have forsaken the faith of those people who do not believe in Allah and even deny the hereafter. I follow the faith of my forefathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Yaqub alayhi salam ajma'in. It is not fitting that we attribute any partners with Allah. It is the grace of Allah on us and on mankind that He has not made us the servants of anyone else other than Himself. Yet most of the people are not grateful. O my fellow inmates, tell me what is better, many different lords or one Allah, the irresistible. Those who serve besides Him are nothing but mere names which you and your forefathers have invented, for which Allah has revealed no sanction. The command belongs to none but Allah, who has ordained that you worship none but Him. That is the true faith, yet most of the people do not know. O my fellow inmates, here is the interpretation of your dreams, that one of you will be released and serve wine to your Lord, that is the King of Egypt. And the other will be crucified, and the birds will eat from his head. That is how your case will be decided concerning which you inquired. You see, Yusuf alayhi salam stayed in prison for many years, and then he shows good attitude over there, and he presents such a personality, a beautiful character and conduct, that people start to trust him. And you see, the one who calls towards Allah's deen, his way should be that he should make people pay attention towards him through his amal. Now Yusuf alayhi salam does not say anything to them, but only he has a good conduct, good attitude towards them. So until people start coming to him when they were in some hardships, they started coming to him. And when they came to him, then Yusuf alayhi salam after that teaches them of Allah's oneness. And in very precise words, he joins people to Allah, not to his own being. He does not say, I'm a very learned person and I have such and such knowledge. No. All is granted to me by my Rabb. This is what he says. He teaches them of being grateful to Allah, teaches them to worship Allah, and also he negates shirk. This is a beautiful style of preaching from which mostly people are heedless. Then, to the one who he thought would be released, he said, mention me to your Lord. That is, to your king. But Shaitan made him forget to mention Yusuf to his king. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِدْعَ سِنِينَ. So he remained in the prison a few more years. Because coming out from the prison, Allah's izn is required. One day the king of Egypt said, I saw 7 fat cows in my dream, which were eaten up by 7 lean cows. Likewise I saw 7 green ears of corn and 7 others that were dried up. O chiefs, tell me the meaning of my dream, if you can interpret the dreams. They replied, confused nightmares. We are not skilled in the interpretation of dreams. Now the king of Egypt, he was a mushrik, but he saw a true dream. What does this show? True dream can be seen by anyone. It is not a condition to see a true dream that he has to be very pious, religious, namazi, mu'min and a Muslim. No. But it can be that he is not a Muslim but he speaks the truth. So because of his truthfulness, his dreams too are true. So if a person sees a true dream, so never think or never take it as a proof that yes, he is a very close servant of Allah. Because sometimes we are greatly influenced by such things and we make that person our ideal who sees any true dreams. For example, he is predicting about something in future. But this should be limited to this only, and in other matters of life we should only obey Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's word. Anyway, when the king saw the dream, his courtier said, "It is only a confused dream. It does not seem to have any meaning." Thereupon one of the two inmates who was released remembered Yusuf after all that time. And he said, "I will tell you its interpretation. Just send me to Yusuf in the prison." He came to Yusuf in the prison and he said, "O Yusuf, the truthful one." What does this show? The truthfulness becomes a part of one's personality if he makes it compulsory in his life. "Tell us the meaning of the dream of 7 fat cows, which are eaten up by 7 lean cows, and of 7 green ears of corn, and 7 others dried up, so that I may return to the people and let them know the meaning of this dream." Yusuf a.s. replied, "You will cultivate for 7 consecutive years. During this time, you should leave the corn you reap in the ear, except what may be sufficient for your food. Then after that period, there will come upon you 7 hard years, which will eat away all that you had stored, except a little, which you may have specifically set aside. After that period will come a year of abundant rain, in which the people will squeeze the juice." The king said, "Bring him to me." Because see, he understood this is the right interpretation of my dream. Because a true word immediately appeals one's heart. So the king said, "Bring him to me." When the messenger came to Yusuf, he said, "Go back to your lord and ask him about the case of those women who cut their hands. Indeed, my Rab has full knowledge of their plot." The king questioned those women, saying, "What do you say about the incident when you attempted to seduce Yusuf?" They replied, "God forbid, we know of no evil on his part." The Aziz's wife said, "Now that the truth has come to light, it was I who attempted to seduce him. In fact, he is absolutely truthful." Yusuf a.s. said, "By this inquiry, I meant to let him, that is Al-Aziz, know that I did not betray him in his absence, and that Allah does not let the snare of the treacherous succeed." Now this sentence is not in self-praise, okay? But it is to clarify oneself, because tomorrow Yusuf a.s. will be working for people's reform and also preaching. So it was necessary for him to clarify the blame and the accusation on him so that he can work in a better way. Because whom people consider honest when he is dealing with people, so they can consider him honest in the matters of deen as well. The reason of Rasulullah's dawah success is that he was famous for his truthfulness and honesty. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.